Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
I'm glad that he was willing to suffer for me. Now, you couldn't describe the suffering of Jesus enough to plant it into our minds, as limited and finite as they are. But I want you to know that he suffered for you.
Amen.
The pain, the torment that he endured, all the while being sinless and undeserving of any of it. The Lamb of God had to die.
Yep.
The only sacrifice that God would accept for sin is a blood sacrifice. That blood required the life of Jesus Christ, and I'm glad that he didn't stay dead.
Amen.
Be one thing to die for my sins and to leave me in the grave. But Jesus Christ didn't do that. He rose again.
Amen.
Turn with us this morning to the book of Acts, chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16. We'll begin at verse number 31. Actually, I want to back up just a few verses for context. We're reading this morning of the Philippian jailer's conversion. Certainly not exhaustive, but we tried Wednesday night to share a thought, and God had shared with us another, and I want to be try to be faithful to that this morning, so we desire your prayers. Acts chapter number 16, verse number 25 is where we're going to begin. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. When it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeants, saying, "Let those men go." And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go now, therefore depart and go in peace." Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out." And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. They came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. They went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Father, thank you for your word. We pray for the unction of your spirit. Simply speak, Father, for we listen. We pray that your word touch our hearts And Lord, that everything you need us, want us to hear, that by your Holy Spirit it would find its mark. I pray especially for that soul who may be hearing for the first time with their heart. Lord, will believe that they'll hear this truth and recognize that it's meant for them. We trust you in this as we only but plant and water. We pray you give the increase, for we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I don't want to spend a lot of time in going backwards. If you were here Wednesday night, you heard the message concerning how the jailer was converted. But I do want to say this about that, is that it required the Holy Spirit. The only way that he got saved was he got under conviction, and it happened just like that. Remember when the prison shook and the doors of the cells burst open, the bands dropped to the walls, clanging, that the jailer woke from his sleep, immediately recognizing the condition, though he couldn't see into the cells. They were dark. It was midnight. What he did realize is that he was in a big mess. He was in trouble. He assumed his life was worth very little because he had also assumed that all the prisoners had escaped. Now, there's an enemy today. No, what I said that to say this. What he assumed was wrong.
Amen.
And some of you may be here this morning and you're assuming something in your heart that could be as far from the truth as anything. You assume, you see, that God doesn't love you. You assume that you've been too bad, or you assume that you've gone too far. You assume that what you're doing now is simply appeasing someone else by being here. But what I want you to know, that that's not true. Many of the time, our assumptions get us in trouble because they're not based on fact. They're based on our feelings. And feelings are, for the most part, where assumptions come from. So don't trust an assumption. This man would have taken his life, I feel, without a doubt, had Paul not spoken up when he did, and loudly, that this man would have thrust that sword through his own heart. And yet Paul cried out and he said to him, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." Right? What you assumed is not the case. Everyone is still here. Yes, the doors are open. And yes, we have no stocks or bonds holding us to this wall. But we are all still here. I want you to know today that Christ is here and he knows that you are. And when there is a word that comes to you, friend, listen to me, you have to respond to the Holy Spirit's dealing. This man awoke out of his sleep, and when Paul spoke to him and said, "We're all still here," there was something happened in him. We preached it on Wednesday night, expressing that this is what conviction is. It's when you go without a care in the world and being in control of your own life one minute, and the very next second you are trembling in fear and recognizing the voice of good news, you fall before it and cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" Yeah, what a miracle this is, the conversion of this Philippian jailer. What a miracle, the man who had just persecuted these innocent men, a man who likely had done it many times before, a man who was in a position of authority, and yet in this very instant, the Holy Spirit arrests his soul and brings him to a position where he is bowing down now to the prisoners he once held and asking them for their help. Yep. Name but one thing that can do that, friend, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And when you think of it that way, his conversion's not that different than yours. It took the same kind of event to take place. It took the same kind of circumstances, which were the Holy Spirit intervening, bringing together all of this very thing that would take place, the timing of it. It was midnight. the shaking of the jail, the bursting open of the bars, the loosening of the bands, all of these things were the power of the Holy Spirit manifesting itself even physically in that way, because his intent was is to wake up the soul of this jailer. Are you a jailer today? Are you the one that is bound by your own thoughts and sin? Are you the one that the Lord is going to shake this morning and wake up to the point that you call upon him to be saved? Well, if that's the case, I certainly hope that you'll come, that you'll call upon Christ to be saved. The most unusual circumstances, and I'm so glad that God recorded it for us, aren't you? I'm glad that I know of the conversion of the Philippian jailer. You see, if anybody can be saved, or if the jailer can be saved, then anybody can be saved, right? There, you can't rule yourself out if you simply believe this word. But that's not really what I want to preach on this morning. There's a thought today that God shared with me, and I want to clear up some confusion. I want to truly be clear, because I want us to know what the word says and what it means. Not assume, you see, or not make it say something that it does not say. And we find that very verse in this scripture that I read to you today. People claim this verse as some promise that God has made. And I want us to at least challenge that thought today as we look at the word itself. Look with us to the Bible as we look at verse number 31. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." What does that mean? Right? Is that therefore a promise to us from God that says, careful about amening until I'm finished, right? Don't indict yourself. Is that a promise from God that says, if I get saved, that means my children will? Right? Many, we've heard it that way, right? We've heard many people tell it that way, that what Paul is saying is that if you get saved, your house will too. All of your children will. Your spouse will. We hear it that way, but I want to be clear this morning, that's not what it says. Right? Read it for yourself. It doesn't say that. What Paul was saying to this man was, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. All right? You could put a period right there and there's nothing else that we need to say about that. That's salvation in its essence. From what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10, what he said in verse 13 was, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right? Have we ever in any context within the Word of God heard or experienced or read something where the Word of God says all it has to be is that the man of the house get saved and all of his children will be saved also? It's not true, right? And so we must be careful to recognize that what the apostle was saying to him was not a promise from God, but it was an extension of the grace of God, the same extension of grace that was given to this jailer in the Philippian jail is the same grace that Paul was extending to the jailer and his whole household. And for that, I can say that God is extending his grace to whosoever will. There's no one out there that is outside of the grace of God. There's no one out there that he cannot save. There's no one out there that he won't save if they'll call upon him. But what we know about salvation is that you must believe in Christ yourself. You cannot get to heaven on the coattail of your grandfather or your grandmother or your mother or your father. You cannot get into heaven on any other way except you be born again. You see, what Paul was saying to this man was, if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. And he said also, if your house believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll be saved. That's what he was saying. He wasn't saying that it was a promise that if we be born again, that all of our children automatically will be saved. We know it not to be true. We know that that is a struggle. We know that there's an adversary and that there is an enemy. Does God promise? Yes, he promises a lot of things. But I'll tell you what he didn't promise. He didn't promise that just because Tommy Boring is saved, that his children will be saved. He didn't promise me that. But he did promise that if my children would believe in Jesus Christ,
amen.
Hallelujah, they can be saved. He did promise that if they would call on him, that he would hear.
Amen.
He did promise that his son died for them.
Amen.
For them, you see, not just for me. He died for every one of them. This word, you see, is not a promise that our progeny somehow will miraculously be born again based on my merit, based on my actions, based on my faith. My children will not go to heaven unless they believe in Jesus Christ. That is the only way you can preach this gospel. There is not by extension a guarantee, friend, that anybody will be saved unless they come to the saving knowledge of the truth and trust in Christ their self.
Amen.
I can't save anybody, you see. And if we're not careful, what we'll do is we'll end up making this a promise and extending it into all manners of evil. Right? Like maybe taking a little baby and blessing it and baptizing it and saying, now it's on its way to heaven. May I say to you today that you don't have that power?
Yeah.
Right? The grace that has been extended to you, I will promise you today that that same grace will be extended to whosoever will, but you don't have it to give. Right? It's not yours to offer. You can't simply share the gospel with someone and then effectively save them from it. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit. And what the apostle was telling this man, he said, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will be saved. But what he was also telling him was that you're not the only one important. You've got a house full of people. You've got a wife, you've got children, they might have husbands, they might have children, there might have been grandchildren involved. What the apostle was saying is, I'm not promising you that because you'll be saved, they'll be saved, but what I will promise you is that if you'll take the gospel to them and they believe, they will be born again. That's what it means to be saved. You can't be saved simply because of your affiliation or association with anyone else. You know, I'm proud today to be able to say that my children are saved. I believe they are. But I'll tell you also that I won't stand with God. I won't be by their side in judgment.
Yeah.
Amen. If one of them dies and goes to hell, it won't be my fault. Amen, because they have a responsibility to work out their own salvation in fear and trembling. And the only way any man gets to heaven is because they bowed their own knee to God.
Amen.
You can't get there by affiliation.
Yeah.
You know, the kids of the preacher, they often get a bad rap, right? They're normally the meanest. Now, somehow or another, I escaped that. Mine ain't. I'm grateful to say they weren't anyway, right? They're not kids. But I'll tell you, they had to get saved on the road. Right? I couldn't save them. Right? I did the best I could to teach them and to tell them, and I hope that God made it easy for them to get saved. But here's what the bottom line is. If they never called on Christ, they're still lost today. They won't get there because I was a preacher. They won't get there because I saved or their mother was saved. They'll get there because they believed in Jesus Christ themselves.
Amen.
This salvation we offer today is a personal salvation. It's not a community ride. It's not something where you just get on the bus when everybody else does. I want you to know you have to be saved individually. It's when he calls you. And what he was telling this man was the same grace that'll save you will save your house.
Amen.
It sure will.
That's right.
The same love of God that orchestrated this extraordinary event, the shaking of a prison, the waking up of a guard, the freeing of these prisoners, and yet them all staying right there waiting. All of these things, the miraculous work of God. He said, listen, everything that God is offering to you, you ask me how to be saved, I'm going to tell you how to be saved. Believe on Jesus Christ. That's how you get saved. And if you'll believe, and if your children will believe, they'll get saved too.
Amen.
That's a promise.
Amen.
That's the promise. Is that the word of God coming to any soul, if they will humble themselves, repent of their sin, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be saved.
Amen.
That's the promise. I think it's important for us to grasp this truth. I think it's important that we be awful careful about making promises that God didn't make. Now, I had every expectation that God would save my children. I certainly did. But it wasn't based upon my expectation that God would save my children was not based upon me. No, it wasn't based upon my salvation. It wasn't based upon my relationship with Christ. My expectation, my hope for my children's salvation was based in the love of my God for them.
Amen.
And that He would come to them. And He did.
Amen.
He did. You see, that's a promise I can hold on to. That's a promise I can be certain of. But we certainly ought to be careful about simply saying that because one gets saved, their children will be saved. That's not true. Right? There's hundreds of examples. All you got to do is look out through the genealogies of multiple families. I assure you, there's lots of good men, Christian men and women that had children and didn't make it to heaven. They didn't get there. But that's because their salvation had nothing really to do with their parents. It had everything to do with Jesus Christ and them believing Him.
Yeah.
Because if your children don't believe in Christ, they're going to hell.
Yeah.
They ain't going to get there. Because the only one that can save them is Him. Right? To accept verse number 31 is some kind of promise for God that just because you're a saved parent, That automatically means your children are going to heaven would be to revert all the way back to Judaism itself. Amen. That just your association with something godly made you godly. It does not.
That's right.
And my children will never be holy unless they work out their salvation with God and they follow Him and they love Him.
Yeah.
See, dead and gone. Ain't you glad it's this way? Thank God, because when it comes right down to it, here's what I can tell you. When I'm dead and gone, they'll make it. Because if they're depending on me for salvation, depending on me for direction, depending on me for comfort, they won't make it. Because there's a day I'll be separated from them. Right? Whatever hope they had or whatever concern or comfort they had, it'll be gone. I contend today that that's not where the comfort is. As grateful as I am, and He knows my heart, I'm glad. I thank God every day that I have believing parents.
Yeah.
Don't you underestimate the value of that. Because I believe it makes all the difference in the world. But because my parents believed, that ain't why I believed. Amen. It wasn't even one of my parents sitting by myself. Huh? They wasn't a mother or a dad pulling on me saying, you need to go get saved. Right? They wasn't whispering in my ear. They wasn't asking me if I was lost. They wasn't bothering my business. Because I think they realized that if anybody gets saved, they can't do it for us. You see, the night I got saved, it's between me and Him. I took a little detour by my mother, and when she saw me, she just got out of the way and said, I can't help you. Right? That's about as far as a mother can go with you, is to look you in the eye and say, I can't help you with this. You know what she's saying? She said, you're on your own now. You're dealing with God. See, But he's the one that can save you. You do anything for your children, point them toward Jesus. Amen. Just keep pointing a finger. Keep telling them that he loves them. Keep telling them that he'll save them. Keep telling them the good tidings and the word of God. Yeah, God can save, but he doesn't do it because of me.
Right.
He does it because of Jesus.
Amen.
It's the sacrifice of the Lord that the Holy Spirit does his work. He doesn't do it because he's honoring me somehow. Thank God for that. You say, why? That'd be extra special, amen, if God just simply honored you. Because I could mess her up, buddy, and he could dishonor me too. Right? If it was based on my merit, I'd foul it up. And my children for sure wouldn't have a chance. Thank God it ain't about me. See, because God loves my children, whether I live for him or don't live for him, he loves them. Oh, how he loves them. See, my hope, don't get me wrong, but hear me. My hope ain't in how good I live my life. I want to make it, right? And I want to cross the line still running. That's my heart. I want to go down fighting. But that ain't my hope for my children or my grandchildren's salvation. No. Whether I finish well or I don't finish well, that ain't my hope. My hope is that Jesus in his love is still reaching the sinners. That's how people get saved. We can't do it on the merit of someone else, regardless of how good they were. Well, if you want to talk, come and get a song. If you just want to talk about the advantage of this life, I wasn't born into wealth, so to speak.
Amen.
But I'd have to say I was born into one of the richest
Amen.
Families ever been.
Amen.
When I look up the line as far as the tree went physically, and everybody I saw were Christians. Whew, that's rich. I'm telling you. But I'd have died and gone to hell sure as you're here if I'd have not trusted Jesus. Because my papa couldn't save me. My mamma couldn't save me. My granny couldn't save me. My dad couldn't save me. My mom couldn't. There ain't but one man that can save you, and that's Jesus Christ. And you better thank God for it, because it ain't dependent on anybody else. It's dependent on them believing. And that's it. That's how you get saved. What Paul was saying to the jailer was that I got some good news for you. God's come to save you, but he wants to save the rest of you.
Amen.
Your house. That's what he told old Zacchaeus. He said, come on down. He said, I'm going to your house today. Zacchaeus said, I believe I'll come down.
Amen.
Made old Zacchaeus a new creature. And what he was telling the jailer, he said, God's fixing to do something. You know, people save themselves. Well, I believe what the jailer was asking for is how in the world can he get out of this predicament of all these prisoners literally loose, and how in the world is he going to save his life physically? That wasn't his concern. No, how do you know that wasn't his concern? Because that wasn't how Paul answered his question.
Amen.
If the man was concerned how he was going to save his own hide over this debacle, right, Paul would have answered him a different way. But he did not. Paul spoke quite clearly in a very short way. He said, look, believe on Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Paul was talking because the man was asking, how do I get born again?
Amen. That's right.
Now, if you miss Wednesday night, shame on you, because that was fun preaching that part of it, right? How in the dickens did this man know how to be, or that he even should be born again?
That's right.
And there was a lot going on in that jail that night. Praying and singing, and according to the scripture, even all the prisoners heard them. Lord, they were doing some preaching and never preached. He was praying and singing, and they all heard them. When the jailer got woke up by the Holy Spirit, he run in there and fell down. And looked up to them who were the prisoners, said, must I do to be saved? You're going to get to that point. If you're here and lost, you're going to reach that point in your life when the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And in that moment, right? I can't promise you no other moment, but in that moment, you have an opportunity to be born again. Changed forever. Made a new creature in Christ. And if my children didn't get it that way, they're going to go to hell. And ain't a thing I can do about that. Because they also must be born again. I don't know your heart. If you somehow here today, I honestly just don't believe anybody among us believes this way. But I got to say it. If you're here today and somehow think that the laurels and good lives of your parents are somehow going to get you into God, that ain't happening.
Yeah. Amen.
Number one, your parents weren't good.
Yeah. Amen.
If Jesus said, "There's none good," I assure you that's exactly what he meant. There is none good. You're not getting into heaven because of mama or daddy. It won't happen. You're going to end up in hell just like every other wicked soul does. See, you have to be born again. Do you really mean that? Yeah. The very thing he told Nicodemus. And when the rich young ruler come to him and said, What must I do to inherit eternal life? Sounds like the same question the jailer asked. That one got saved and the other went home lost. Still lost. Same question. Really? Same answer. Except one got saved and the other didn't get saved. And I contend that happens today. Some come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and there are others that reject it and ultimately will perish in the torments of the fire. They will die lost. And I can't stop that. But I can tell you how to remedy that. The good news is that Christ came for you, not because of me. Christ came for you because of God and his love for the whole world that he gave his son that you could be saved. You go to hell today, it ain't because he didn't try. He didn't make every opportunity for you to make it. He loves you. The Bible says it's not God's will that any should perish. None. But that all should come to repentance. But all do not come to repentance. Where are you at today? Where's your heart? As the Holy Spirit woke you up this morning and suddenly you know right now in this instant, if you died, you was going to hell. If you know that, I'm telling you, God ain't dealing with your mother. God ain't dealing with your father. He's dealing with you.
Amen.
And you have to make it right with him. That's the only way you can be saved. Stand as we sing.